The reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us,
thanks be to God.
Thank you, Bruce. It's always great to have good storytellers when we have Scripture like this. First of all, I want to thank all of you, my Plymouth community, for your prayers, your presence in cards and condolences, your kind words and hugs. In what was a difficult December for me, upon the illness and death of my father, and cleaning out his apartment after Christmas, I certainly appreciated, and I knew this, but I know it even better now, how the prayers of others carry us when we feel we have no strength to pray for ourselves. So thank you. I also want you to know that some of his last words to me were, "Go to the doctor. You have a terrible cough." So I did. In fact, I've been twice. I'm on all kinds of wonderful medicine. I don't think I'm contagious, but I just want you to know I sound awful, but I'm taking care of myself, and I'm using hand gel. Thank you. Thank you. Fortunately, you will hand each other the bread in communion today, so let's be in prayer together. Holy One, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you as we ponder together your word in Scripture. Amen. One of my very favorite authors and spiritual mentors is the late Madeleine L'Engle. You may know her writings, particularly her fiction, A Wrinkle in Time, and the others in the Time trilogy, her young adult novels, her adult novels. She also wrote poetry, personal memoir, books of spiritual and theological reflections on art, scripture, and seasons of the church year. I often turn to her writing when I need hope. She has a book that has a collection of her writings on Advent, Christmas, and Epiphany. And in that book, she shares a very early childhood memory. Her family was visiting her grandmother's house on an almost uninhabited beach in North Florida. I imagine that that beach is very inhabited now. Madeleine was born in 1918. So this nighttime experience that she had as a young child took place well before the days of light pollution. She writes, "It must have been an unusually clear and beautiful night for someone to have said, 'Let's wake the baby and show her the stars.' The night sky, the constant rolling of breakers against the shore, the stupendous light of the stars all made an indelible impression on me. I was intuitively aware not only of a beauty I had never seen before, but also that the world was far greater than the protected limits of a small child world, the world I had known thus far. I had a total, if not very conscious, moment of revelation. I saw creation bursting the bounds of daily restriction and stretching out from dimension to dimension beyond any human comprehension. This early experience was freeing rather than daunting, and since it was the first, it has been the foundation for all other glimpses of glory." I wonder if the Magi, who followed the star to Bethlehem, experienced a night like this night in Madeline's life. The brilliance of the stars overhead, the radiance of the new star that they were following, outshining all the others, the sound of breakers on a beach, of wind whistling across sand and rattling palm leaves. Surely they had a night something like this, even though I also know their journey was long and tedious, as journeys can be, and even dangerous. Matthew writes that the revelation of this new star in the east, this first glimpse of glory, set the Magi on their pilgrimage. And I wonder what other revelations they might have had along the way. Small glimpses of glory in their daily travels. What bits of heart light and intellectual insight did they gather as they traveled that illuminated journey? I guess I imagine that they had quite a fine collection. Bits and bobs of glory glimpses when they finally reached that place where the star stopped over the house. The house that held the one they sought, the new king, the light of the world. The season of Epiphany, which we entered yesterday on the 12th day of Christmas, is a season of light, a season of the revelation of God's glory, particularly in Jesus the Christ. One of its primary images is the shining star that led the Magi. The scriptures we will encounter as we journey through this time of year leading us to Lent will all hold images of brightness, of stars, of new days dawning, of miracles, of the deep mystery of God with us in human form. Epiphany is a time of gathering light and glimpses of God's glory, even in the darkest hours. Now, I know we preachers talk a lot about light in the darkness, about trusting in God to guide, about the need to keep on keeping on in following God's ways. We talk about this maybe to the point of your exhaustion and ours. But I tell you that we talk about such things to keep our hope alive along with yours, because we do live in exhausting times. We long to figure out solutions to the problems of the world, to make ways for peace and justice, to be the change we long to see. Epiphany is a time to gather light for our journeys of justice, to gather hope in the stories of mystery and miracle that will sustain our ministries here at Plymouth and our personal pilgrimage throughout this next year. It is a time to tend the stars that guide us, like the star cleaners did, to listen to their music, to receive their tears of joy, so that we can hold them in our hearts. In a poem titled Into the Darkest Hour, Madeline L'Engle wrote, "It was a time like this, war and tumult of war, a horror in the air. Hunger yawned the abyss, and yet there came a star. And the child, most wonderfully there. It was a time like this, of fear and lust for power, license and greed and blight, and yet the one of bliss came into the darkest hour in quiet and silent light. And in a time like this, how celebrate his birth when all things fall apart? Ah, wonderful it is, with no room on the earth, the stable is our heart. When we open our hearts like the stable doors, and once again they are filled with the light of Christ, what happens then? I think you all know. It is our privilege and our responsibility to show up in the dark places of the world and let the stars of God's love shine. We let God's love shine in the dark places of our own hearts and souls and minds. This is important and sometimes hard work to start with us. It takes prayer and study, a community of faith and of friendships for support. Sometimes it even takes therapy and counseling. But it's all worth it. It's worth it because we cannot share what we do not have. It's all worth it because each of us deserves to know in our heart of hearts that we are beloved beings made in the image of the Holy One. We let God's light shine in the dark places of our communities, our families, at work, at school, through the outreach, calling, caring, and Christian formation ministries of Plymouth. We show up here to care for one another and to let that care spill over into the world through working for justice for the homeless, for the immigrant, and the refugee. We show up here for the sustenance of study and prayer and fellowship with one another, so that we may more effectively work for the sustenance of Plymouth, this beloved community and its ministries that fill our community, so that we may more effectively work for peace. And we let God's light, God's love, shine in the dark places when we gather to worship here each week, to give ourselves up wholeheartedly to God's presence in this community as we sing and pray and listen to God's word in scripture, in sermon, from one another. Our mission here at Plymouth, the first line of our mission statement declares that we first and foremost worship God so that we may shine like the stars with the light of Christ, so that we may experience glimpses of God's glory in one another and wherever else we may be. And I would add, may witness to those glimpses of glory. On his much-beloved 1980s science show, Cosmos, which I bet some of you watched, the late astrophysicist and cosmologist Carl Sagan made famous the notion that we human beings, as well as most of the matter on Earth, are literally made of the stuff of stars. We are stardust. Sagan said, "We are a way for the universe to know itself. Some part of our being knows this is where we came from. We long to return, and we can, because the cosmos is also within us. We're made of star stuff." Sagan's statement, of course, sums up the scientific fact that the carbon, nitrogen, and oxygen atoms in our bodies, as well as the atoms of other heavy elements, were created in previous generations of stars over 4.5 billion years ago. Scientifically, we are made of star stuff. And in the mystery of theological and spiritual metaphor, and dare I say, even truth, we are made of star stuff. Made of the light of God. We hold that light within our hearts, hold the one born in the light of the stable within our very being. The one born to be God with us. How can we not share the glimpses of glory, the light that we gather along the way? I leave you this morning with an invitation to this season of gathering light through another of Madeline L'Engle's poems titled Epiphany. Unclench your fists. Hold out your hands. Take mine. Let us hold each other. Thus is God's glory manifest. Amen.